Hour two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Appreciate Charles Robinson for being with us, offering his insight into week one of the National Football League. And now we welcome another friend of the program, Jared Stillman, this morning on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. How are you?
We're good. Thank you for taking time to be with us. So you got the Titans at 7-10. So do I. So does Vengan. Rex wrote the Titans Bobo, and has them going 8-9 heading into the year.
Well, he didn't even cover the Titans anymore, so.
Oh. Jeez.
So do I cover them less than you cover them? What are you talking about? Do you cover the Titans?
You are a writer.
Okay.
You're a scribe.
Capital J journalist.
Scribe. You don't write on the Titans anymore. It's very disappointing.
I don't write as much on them anymore, but we all, like everyone at this station, talk about the Titans. So what's the standard for quote unquote covering the Titans?
You don't do it anymore.
Okay. There you go.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
Well argued. Well, another well argued point by Jared.
All right. So let's see.
Are you going to Chicago?
He's not.
I am not going to Chicago. Are you? If not, then you shouldn't talk about him.
I can't because I'm doing the pregame show on Sunday Derek and Chris. And so, you know, that's kind of my responsibility.
So you talk about them, but you're not going to be at the game. That's weird. Huh. Why do we allow you to talk about them?
Are you going to cover the home games like when they play the Jets at home?
I'll probably be at that game, yeah.
Okay, well, at least there's that.
And I know that you'll have your high noon. I know you'll be in a suite with your high noon. Boo! Brian Callahan! Booing Brian Callahan?
Plebeians.
I'm sorry, what?
The plebeians.
Just let me know if you want to sit the 200 level with me and cheer, Joe.
Yeah. No. Well, or boo. I'd like to sit next to you, and if the Titans make a personnel move that we don't like, we can go, Jared, ready? Boo! I can't wait to go on the radio tomorrow and go, boo, on the radio. Good
stuff.
If
they put Malik back in there, that's exactly what I'm going
to
do.
Well, that would probably be a reason to do that. How big a deal is it for the Titans if Hopkins is not available for them in this game, as Taylor Lewan does not expect him to be?
I think it's kind of a big deal because Levis hasn't shown his compatibility with Calvin Ridley, and that's kind of a concern. And they've got one really, really, really good corner, and so it's like, okay, well, I'd like Levis to have options. And, I mean, I know that DeAndre hasn't practiced in a month, but I do feel like DeAndre is Will Levis's guy. He was Will Levis's guy last year, and I know he's going to throw the ball to the running backs. I know he's going to throw the ball to Tyler Boyd, and I hope he doesn't throw the ball to the tight ends. But I do kind of feel like, you know, they've got a chemistry together that if they don't have, and the Treylon Burks is out there, that's a massive drop-off. So I think, you know, the two teams are probably evenly matched. And I think that DeAndre Hopkins is a big part of what the Titans are going to try to do, especially early on.
So you think the Bears are I feel like you keep flip-flopping on this. The Bears are bad or the Bears are good? Kellen Williams is bad or he's good? What's the Stilly take on this?
I mean, I think the Bears are an average NFL team. So as Robbie pointed out, you know, I pick every single game, Joseph, throughout the course of an NFL season yesterday, and I have the Bears at 9-8, and so 9-8 is what, average? So I think the Bears are an average team, and I think the Titans are probably a little bit below that, but again, I think those two teams are kind of evenly matched. If I had to tell you who was, you know, the best between the two, I guess I would probably lean Chicago. But it's certainly not like the Titans playing the Chiefs. So I think Chicago's an average team. I don't think that they're good. Everybody in the country thinks Chicago's going to make it to the playoffs, and Caleb Williams is already ready to be a star and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not there yet. But I also don't think the Bears are New England.
On the defensive side of the ball here, you know, obviously the first time we're going to see all these corners together, good matchup between them on paper. And the Bears receivers that are coming up, based on what you've seen in camp and based on, I guess, the work that he had in the preseason, your expectations for T'Vondre Sweat in game one, whether it's snap percentage, whether it's impact in the game, what are you looking for from big number 93?
I expect T'Vondre Sweat to flash a bunch. You know, I expect him to, you know, either make a couple of plays or you know, take up three guys like Billy Bob in Varsity Blues and set other people up to make the plays. I expect it to be like the Saints game where, you know, he had one where he chased after the quarterback and then he had another one. You know, I don't know what – I think he chased down a screen or – you know, they tried to run right at him. And it just was a black hole and he just, you know, just the running back got lost. That's what I expect on Sunday. Maybe it won't happen. Maybe it will. I mean, the interior of their line has Nate Davis in it, which is would be a concern.
That's true.
If I was the Bears. So I expect to see Tavondre Sweat out there doing something. If this is like the San Francisco game where he doesn't do anything, and then we have to get all these Titan homers out there to sit there like Joe to tell us why he didn't do anything in the game, I'll be disappointed. I expect us to not have any question about what Tavondre Sweat was doing on Sunday when we talk about the game on Monday.
Wait, what? What? So I'm a Tavondre Sweat homer?
You're a Titans homer.
I'm just a general Titans homer.
Yes.
Okay. Says like the foremost Bobo at our station. says
after
this.
The
with your pom poms watching the game
after the San Francisco game when Tavondre Sweat didn't do anything, you know, all of the fanboys on Twitter were like, "Well, you don't understand. San Francisco had schemed up against Tavondre Sweat, and they double teamed him, and they this and they that."
I saw no tweets that said this.
I saw a few.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I don't. I don't have the same fanboy feed on my Twitter account. So what does it have to do? What does it have to do with me? I covered that game. What does that have to do with me?
You're a homer, like those other homers.
Oh, okay. Because you say so.
Big tight.
Do you have
Bobo.
Any objective metrics to back up that statement?
You had been 8-9. Everybody else has been 17.
Yeah, that's right. Am I the most optimistic at the station of the people picking the Titans?
Well,
Willie and D-Mace, have they picked anything?
I don't know what Chase has picked. You know, God bless him. But Chase, I think out of the goodness of his heart, I think gives the teams the benefit of the doubt, the local teams, more often than I think he should. I think you give them the benefit of the doubt. I think you give that to them out of them convincing you by talking to you on the side saying, you know, Joe, I actually think it's going to be.
You got a great feel. You got a great feel for things. Yeah.
It's going to be so good because the coach told me that.
Yeah, no, you got your finger on the pulse of things as usual, Jared. That's great analysis.
Derek thinks they're going to compete for the division this year.
Yeah.
Then I don't know where Willie's at and I don't know where Chase is at. Joe Rexroad says 8-9, which means average team, you know, bounce here, bounce there. They could make the playoffs, but they probably won't. Me, Robbie, and Vingan are all living in reality at 7-10.
Huge difference there. That's a cut line between reality and fantasy. It's 7-8. Yeah.
Ben,
I mean, you're really hitting it today.
Five games. Ian has his expectations at 4 wins this year.
I saw that.
Ooh, Ian.
And so we're a whole range here, but you're definitely in the top half of the group.
Because to the side, Brian Callahan's like, "Hey, actually, buddy, I think we're going to
He did give you a shout out.
I think we're going to be better than
on the official Titans podcast." So
I still haven't heard that. Yeah. That's exciting.
What did he say? Did he say, "Good writing, Joe," saying everything that I told you on background to write as the truth?
Probably. That's pretty much what it was.
Probably. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I wish he wouldn't tell people
I'm
that.
I'm going to miss
you,
Joe, carrying water for me. I talked to the last coach when I saw him over at Corner Pub ripping heaters, and he told me, whatever you do, become friends with Rex Road because he will take whatever you tell him and say it as gospel.
Yeah, for sure. Vrabel was very happy with that story that we had last year. He was super excited about that.
Jared, happy week one. Thanks for being with us.
The one that you talked to Vrabel on?
What? What
you
in the hell
Vrabel
are you
really
talking about?
Was really happy about that story last year. I'm guessing it's the story where you and Diana had the – well, I guess it's probably Diana.
Jared, this is – I think right now is a good time for you to stop pretending you know what the hell is going on in media things.
Are you talking
like,
about the
– I know you always – Diana's only source is Vrabel. And then it's like, well, no, that's not even close to true. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. So just stop trying. There's plenty of other things that you can blab about that you also don't know crap about. But just, you know, leave me out of your mouth.
Robbie, when's the last time Diana broke news on the Titans?
Well, she broke it after Vrabel, so Clearly has more sources than Vrabel.
That is true. Uh-oh.
What did she, break?
She broke like a signing or two, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sadiq Charles. That's right.
What? Charles doesn't do transactional signings, dude.
No, Sadiq Charles is what he said.
Charles. Oh, Sadiq. Yeah. I thought you said she beat Charles. Wow.
Sadiq Charles up to $2.5 million. We were like, who the hell is that?
There you go.
So what does that mean?
Well, it means that when Mike Vrabel was the coach, every piece of news from the Titans was broken by Diana, including like Rand Carthon hiring. And now the only thing Diana gets is Sadiq Charles.
Again, Inspector Clouseau is on the case, folks. Thank goodness.
Jared, have a good weekend.
Joe, get back to recruiting rankings.
Oh, I'm looking forward to those.
Okay.
Thank you, Jared.
Bye, Jared. Yeah. What a whiner.
He's all into the Rec Show doesn't cover the Titans anymore, which is not theoretically true.
No, but yeah, of course he's gotta take shots wherever he can. Someone says the Rex Road Stillman shtick is so annoying. Why do you even have him on the show? I ask myself the same thing sometimes.
615.
Kind of ugly though.
737-1025. We'll react to what Charles and Jared both had to say. Also, gonna get into a big weekend of college football coming up. We got a loaded show today. Clark Lee at 7:30. TD at 8, talking all things Titans and Bears. Pigskin Pick'em at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Appreciate Charles Robinson and Jared Stillman for being with us on the program. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. By the way, make sure you tune in to 93.3 Totally Hits Nashville this Sunday for coverage of the Quaker State 400. Coverage will begin at 1 o'clock. Race set to start at 2. Coverage also available on the 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey from Antioch says, Joe, you're a hater. Silly is right and usually is. Another texter says, Joe talking condescendingly to Jared is old. Especially since Jared has grown into the best in Nashville.
Oh, I got some of the fleas are circling on our text line.
Right. They have moved from the dog's butt.
Right.
And are now circling.
Right. I thought you told me that somebody was enjoyed the high noon comment.
Paul on the text line says, Joe, get the text will pull up. In the stands with your high noon, spit out my coffee.
There we go. That's what we're going for, spitting out the coffee.
Yeah.
Stilly is right and usually is. Trey from Antioch, man. I'll tell you what. In terms of like the consistently bad takes, where's Trey from Antioch rank?
Woo! Trey, you going to take that?
I appreciate the consistency, though.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do agree with people that like the sniping, I mean, it's unproductive. However, we at least did not talk about Mason Rudolph, so we'll call
I wasn't even going to mention the name.
Call that a win. Yeah, yeah. I probably shouldn't have. But someone on the text line said, please don't do
please,
it.
Please, for the love of God.
And I was glad that we did not get there. So
we'll have Clark Lee coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe, quickly getting into the college football slate this weekend. Obviously, Tennessee, NC State, we've talked a lot about that matchup. We will more later in the show. Texas, Michigan, big one coming up in the early game on Saturday. What do you make of that matchup? What do you make of Texas going on the road to Michigan and Michigan's chances in this one? Michigan, they looked okay, but kind of messed around a little bit with Fresno State, pulled away at the end, ended up winning by 20, which I took them at minus 20 and a half in Pigskin Pick'em, and they won by 20. We're already in bad beat season on Pigskin Pick'em. It's good stuff. What do you make of that matchup coming up this weekend? Unquestionably the game of the week in college football.
Yeah, no, I think so. It's a big one. And Michigan, touchdown underdog at home.
Yep.
How about that?
Which I don't hate.
Yeah, no, I know. That's the thing. I mean, Michigan still has a really good defense. Yes, they looked pretty bad on offense against Fresno State. There's no doubt. So new quarterback situation. They kind of have a combo quarterback thing going. They lost their whole offensive line. So that side of the ball is, you know, they need this to be a Big Ten kind of game. You know, they need this to be a 17-13 kind of game. Can they create that kind of game against Texas's offense? I think at home that defense. I think that, you know, they have a chance to hold the score down. So I think they got a real chance to pull this off tomorrow. I know a lot of my coworkers do not think so. NC State, Tennessee, is that the second best game tomorrow? I mean, you know, the sneaky interesting game tomorrow, and maybe I don't want to overreact because Oregon actually, you know, they dominated the game, the scoreboard. They didn't dominate the scoreboard, but Boise State, Oregon, Peacock game at 9 o'clock Saturday. Yes. So a little, you know, formerly Pac-12 after dark could be interesting. But also, of course, Nico's chance, and I know we're going to talk about it later, but Nico's opportunity to, you know, kind of announce himself. Another one, just throwing this out there, okay?
Okay.
I don't want to give anybody any pigskin pick'em ideas, but, you know, South Florida, Alex Golish, second year, he's got a big-time quarterback. And, you know, last year, Alabama was a mess. The weather was a mess. Saban was going to the other quarterbacks, and they were not good and all that stuff. But, like, they almost upset them last year.
They did.
This is at Alabama. Alabama looked pretty good last week, destroying Western Kentucky. But South Florida is a team that, with that offense, I think can score some points in this game. So I was just saying that that game might be a little bit more interesting than some might give it credit for.
How much intrigue do you have in Colorado, Nebraska this weekend with the Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Raiola matchup at quarterback?
Yeah, that's the thing. That'll get probably more attention in general than the Tennessee NC State game. Then we'll see how the games go. But yeah, I'm very interested in that game. It's a huge one for both teams. I think actually that Nebraska could be kind of a sneaky team this year. But how good is Dylan Raiola? I mean, he's the number one recruit in the country, I believe, right? Certainly the number one quarterback in the country.
He looks like a clone of Patrick Mahomes in terms of like,
yeah, he's
his
got
hair.
The Mahomes hair, exactly. Yeah. And some of the throws he made in the first week, you're like, ooh, okay, yep, I see that. So that's gonna be interesting. And of course, you know, Colorado, although they were a little shaky in that opener, their great players were great. So are they good enough to win a game like this on the road? I have my doubts.
It's going to be interesting. I have my doubts too. I think last time I looked, Nebraska was like a touchdown favorite in that one. I'll have to go see what the line is now. But certainly that's going to be a game, especially with those two quarterbacks, that gets talked about a lot. Like I said, we'll get into Tennessee, NC State a little bit later in the program. Big one coming up for the Vols on Saturday night. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, will join us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the week that has been for Vanderbilt. They got a matchup with Alcorn State coming up, and the player that's taken the nation by storm, Diego Pavia. His thoughts on all that coming up as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. And we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Clark Lee to the program. Vanderbilt head football coach. Clark, good morning. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you guys doing?
Awesome, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. A lot of fun to watch you guys last week. I know your attention has moved fully to Alcorn State at this point. But I do want to start on you with the quarterback with you here. It did not take long for me, anyway, watching him play last week before I just, you know, met my wife and I were watching the game. And I just turned to her and I said, man, this guy is an absolute dog. Like, when did you know, being around Diego Pavia, the competitive makeup was what it was? And I guess how evident was that just from you being around him?
I picked it up on film watching him play last year, specifically watching him play in the Auburn game. He was like a magician on that field. There was nothing that stood out in terms of just this like pure physical traits, but like just the way he competed and played. And again, he's got the physical tools. It's not like you're just blown away with any one thing. It's just, you see this, the ultimate competitor. And in that game, he threw an interception early, and he tracked the linebacker down and suplexed him on the sideline. And like, it was like one of those plays. I was like, oh my God, this guy is just wired differently. And then when I first spoke to him on the phone, and I've said this a couple times the last couple weeks, but you know, this job for me has been a lot of convincing, and I have the vision for success for Vanderbilt and to kind of have an understanding of what's held the program back. And obviously we have to keep pushing, to change the paradigm here and to really, you know, we have to change from inside out before we can be changed in the way we're perceived outside in. But, you know, you know, I continue to preach this message about, you know, what the vision is and what we're capable of accomplishing here. And again, a lot of that energy for me is, you know, trying to convince people to see it the way I see it. And it's not hard for me because it's my belief and it's how I wake up every morning. But it's not often that I connect with someone that has the same exact vision and the same exact belief. And the first conversation I had with Diego on the phone, he said to me, you know, I look forward to come and help you win a championship at Vanderbilt. And it was so natural. And like, it just, again, it was like looking in the mirror and having that conversation. And then he lives that out every day. And there's nothing that's over the top. I think what you see in his performance is as kind of like outspoken as he is. I mean, he is a very methodical worker. He's got a very clear process. He's attentive to detail on the field. He makes mistakes. You know, it's not like he's perfect in practice, but he owns them. He's always looking for an edge. It's been a lot of fun to watch him work. And then he builds the connection with his teammates. He has them over to his house. They're hanging out. He takes the time to get to know people. You know, my kids love him. I mean, before they even knew he played quarterback, he was playing hoops with them in the little, on the mini goals we have in the meeting rooms. And they're like, you know, where's Diego? I get a picture sent. They're eating dinner with him and Hendrix, you know, I mean, it's just like, he's that kind of connector. And it's really a special formula. And obviously we feel great about being 1-0 and a great start to the season. You know, any season's going to deliver adversity too. And I think in those moments, we're going to be as glad to have him on our team as any.
Yeah, and Clark, I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people have opened their eyes to what he is as a player and some of the things you're talking about, those intangibles. Also, the scheme, of course, is fun on its own, right? Like, and you have Diego for this year. How do you feel about, you know, and I know you mentioned the Auburn game. You dug in on that. You went and talked to Tim Beck and got the ball rolling there. But how do you feel about, I guess, the long-term – you know, sustainability of this scheme and how it maybe suits Vanderbilt?
Well, it's centered around creating advantage and leverage with formation and motion, you know, so we're doing things in terms of our system that put the defense at a disadvantage or at least challenge them before the ball snapped. And, you know, we did a study on like unbalanced formations from the last couple of years, and it was, you know, in the SEC, we used as few of those really as anyone. I think we were like second to last. And that's not, again, a formula for us where, you know, we're not always going to win matchups across the field. There are things that we need to do in our design that create advantage before the ball snapped. And so you see that coming to fruition here with what Coach Beck has installed. The other part of it is, you know, the ability to funnel the offense through the quarterback. So his ability to extend plays with his legs, to run them, to create gap advantages when you run the quarterback. Again, those are things that limit the defense's ability just to call and haul plays. They got to be accounting for 11 players each snap. And then, you know, what we want to get to is within that is an ability to also just unleash an explosive passing game. Because once you get teams kind of cued in on having to stop the run, you know, then that's your chance to kind of get up and over the top. And so, you know, looking to continue to develop that part of it. But the scheme is a scheme. You know, obviously, I think that what Tim's doing is creative, and I think it's given us the best possible chance to be the program that I want this to be, which is complementary, and we can control the game offensively. But the style, like what excited me about Saturday, obviously the result was great. You know, I'm trying to always take a long-term approach to these things. It's one game. We got to keep developing our team. But what I saw when I watched was a physical offense, a physical offensive line, an offensive line working together, an offensive line winning the line of scrimmage against a good defensive front, running backs that were physical in protection, that were chipping the edges and creating time for the quarterback, receivers that were blocking down the field and making tough contested catches. And those are the things that I feel like we've missed on that side of the ball. It's not just the scheme, it's the identity. And I credit our coaching staff, Coach Beck, Coach Gill, Coach Glenakis, all those guys, Coach G, Alex Bailey, all of them, with really paying attention to that level of identity and connection. What I see right now is an offense that trusts the process, trusts each other, and is playing really hard for one another. And that'll get you most of the way, right? And then it becomes the coach's job to create the edge for the rest of the way. But I'm excited about that. We need to keep being that type of team.
Well, Clark, you mentioned your receivers making tough contested catches. I thought Quincy Skinner embodied that on Saturday against Virginia Tech. You know, he's a guy that's been with you the whole time. 4 catches, 72 yards, a touchdown in the first game. Just what can you say about him, the progress he's made, and the playmaker that he's turned into for your team?
He's always shown these flashes, and anyone who knows Quincy knows, like, this guy's got an incredible heart. He's a great person. I personally, one of my favorite guys to see in the hallway. Like, I always, Q and I are always giving each other a hard time and having fun. I have a lot of fun just interacting with him, and I'm grateful to have him here and grateful to be able to share this time with him. He's always shown flashes on the field, you know, and never the consistency to do it game in, game out, down in, down out. And that's not, you know, abnormal for a young player that's growing and developing. I also think the chemistry was off in that room last year, in the last couple of years. And I think there wasn't great mentorship in that room the last couple of years. And so you had a young player trying to figure it out really on his own and maybe not having the best examples to guide him to what it looks like to be a pro. And that's the mindset that ultimately it takes to deliver consistency is, you know, no matter good play, bad play, it's all about the next play. It's, you know, as a receiver, you know, you may not get, you know, the touches you want, but you better be prepared when the ball comes your way in the moment. And if you've spent time, you know, in a negative headspace around what you're not getting or whatever, there's only one ball, you know, it's going to funnel through the quarterback. Everyone's going to touch it. Be ready when it comes to you. That's the mindset, again, that takes to be consistent. What I've seen from him, I think he's really benefited from Coach Beck, and I think Coach Bailey has done a great job getting him just dialed into a process. So I saw glimpses of this in the spring, although I think there was still just some growth that needed to occur. There was like the second week of the summer, I just started to see him lock into place, and his physical tools are off the charts. So, you know, everyone knows he can run, he's strong, he's powerful, he's got big hands, he's a strong catcher. But it's the mental tools that unlock the physical potential. And about, again, that second week in the summer, and then I just watched him totally change. I mean, he put so much time, invested so much of his effort into his process, and I've seen him grow up before my eyes. So it's been really cool. And obviously to have him come out in the first game and make some really key plays for us was awesome. And now it's about just staying in that process and, you know, being ready to when the ball comes his way. But very proud of Q and excited for him to have a great season.
So a lot to like also, Clark, on what you guys did defensively against an explosive offense. What was that first game week like for you, you know, as head coach / defensive coordinator, and how are you feeling just about that side of the ball?
Well, the first half, I felt like I couldn't miss. it was a little easier than I remembered it being. And then obviously we took on water in the third quarter, that's a good offense and a good team. And you would expect that. I think there was a combination. What good teams do is they make you pay when you make mistakes. And we made too many mistakes in the third quarter. And, part of my challenge is we need to be complex enough to spread the hard down around the field. You know, we I don't believe that we're to a point right now in terms of just who we are in our matchups to play one defense the entire game, right? That's just too much exposure. So, you know, we got to be able to cloud the field. We got to be able to cloud the boundary. We got to be able to insert the safety. We got to be able to pressure. We got to be able to do things that give, that relieve some of the stress up front, you know, in the second level, but certainly in the secondary. And, you know, in the third and fourth quarter, I mean, look, in the stretch where they battled back and ended up taking the lead, we did build to some stops. We did force field goals. I mean, there was some good play in there. We did get them off schedule on early downs. You know, we didn't execute on a couple third downs, which unlocked kind of a flurry of punches we absorbed. And a lot of those, when you go back to it, it's you're going to look at it and say, hey, this is about executing the defense. And they were able to take advantage of our missed execution. The one play that I want back is the long touchdown on third and 10 that, you know, is just inexcusable. And we need to be better. And there's a lot of things that in that snap that we can learn from, but, that's the one to me that undercuts the mission of winning. You know, in that scenario where you have a lead, if you're forcing them into methodical drives, you're shortening the game, you know, and you're forcing them to kick field goals, you're going to win. But to let them uncork one like that, you know, is not okay. So we're going to learn from that and move forward. Other than that, and again, that stretch in the third and fourth quarter where I felt like we had to battle back through some adversity, I was proud of the way the guys represented themselves. I thought we were a physical team. I thought we built the run wall inside out. We forced them onto the perimeter. You know, we were pursuing the ball at a high level and we were disruptive on the ball. I think there's a couple more turnovers out there for us that if we can finish on, you know, we're going to really enjoy the finish of that game. But obviously the big one early that set up the touchdown was a big confidence boost to us. And so that's the kind of unit we want to be. We want to be assertive. We want to be aggressive. We want to, you know, be out there playing physical and playing fast and hunting the ball down. And, you know, I think for the first time out, I thought it was, you know, a good day's work.
Well, Clark, it was a ton of fun to watch. We're looking forward to the matchup coming up tomorrow night against Alcorn State. And thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, good to be with you guys always. Take care.
Absolutely. Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, The Game.
Okay. Did I say Rex Road right?
Rex Road.
Rex Road. Okay, let me do that
no
again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, The Game.
You know, there are some things in life that we can probably play and or hear too much. That is not one of them. They will never get old.
Pretty special. Again, the no worries is still my favorite.
No worries. Don't worry about it. Scott Stapp, it's all good.
By the way, what were these two goofballs doing over here?
Woody and Jim?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They opened the screen and they're taking video of us.
Well,
they said they had a sign that said, Happy Taylor Swift
season.
Excuse me, Taylor Swift season.
It's a popular program, and people just sometimes want to be involved.
People don't understand that sometimes we hear them have outbursts, and
just have also
they take
ago.
Our parking spots, and also sometimes have to wait for coffee.
Yeah. Do you ever hear their bell?
I may not.
We're
going
to have a show fight?
We may have to have a show fight with Woody and Jim. Mm. Okay. I'm here for it. Jim actually is kind of looks like a sneaky, like little wrestler dude.
Jim's
you know?
A hockey player.
Yeah, see?
That's, might mess
you
with
know, you. Those little, you know, like Diego Pavia, like a wrestler. That dude's that's a state championship
I think
wrestler,
Clark Lee liked
know?
It when I said that dude's a dog.
Yeah.
He's a dog.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
He
is.
Good stuff. He is.
Look,
no,
he was talking
awesome.
The other day about he was like Johnny Manziel, like the Tate McSorley thing, which, by the way, he's catching some strays out there. But he's like, yeah, I kind of view myself more as, you know, Johnny Manziel. I like it.
Yeah.
I like the confidence. I really do.
No, he's awesome. He's it's all, you know, he's – I got asked a question like, you know, this the resilience they had late in that game, you know, that's just not a Vanderbilt thing. You give up the – and Clark kind of talked us through the touchdown, but, you know, the Vanderbilt – and I know a lot of fan bases can say, well, that's what happened to us too. It happens to us too. We crumble or whatever. But you know, there's a lot of Vanderbilt defeats snatched from the jaws of victory.
No doubt.
So the question is, so then how is this team tough enough to do what they did? And to me, I mean, you got to start with the quarterback.
A lot of
right?
it comes down to
I mean,
quarterback.
He came back at that very next drive when it's like, okay, well, here comes the three and out or the strip sack or whatever. And he just said, no,
Yep.
And that, so I think you start there. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him. I'm going to keep this with college football. This comes to mind with the, some of the Penny Hardaway stuff happening this week, and it's just like that place is – I mean, his tenure to me is just like whatever. I mean, he might get another year, but it's year six, two NCAA bids, and it's like just constant turmoil and firings and new staff members. And the academic stuff, you know, that's the stuff that, that still to me really bothers me. But it's it also brings to mind the point that – like, everybody can rip on the NCAA, and we do, and I do, and all that stuff. But, like, let's keep remembering that the NCAA is put is a member organization, and the schools, they assign people to do this, and they want these rules to be – it's like that people think that – some people think that it's like this separate watchdog organization. It is – it's the schools that create it, and they want the rules to be enforced. So I just picked Michigan to, or you know, I think that they could beat Texas. I think I need to take a little shot at swipe at Harbaugh this week, because this week there's an ESPN story, and there's still some people asking about all the stuff with him. Which, you know, if you saw the Connor Stallions doc, have you watched it yet?
I have not. I need to get on.
Yeah, it's worth watching. It is. It's worth watching. I'd actually be really interested in your take.
Okay.
But this is a Harbaugh quote, and Harbaugh very recently got into the whole he had the, like, we should do revenue sharing, all that stuff. It's like, great. And he got celebrated for it. It's like, okay, I mean, that's fine. But this is his response on the NCAA, which, of course, is like, you are persona non grata anymore. Don't even try to come back here. And, you know, he probably won't, but win with the Chargers then. Here's the quote. He said, quote, on the NCAA, they've been keeping money away from players for decades.
I saw that.
They just got hit with a $2.7 billion lawsuit. They have no credibility. That's the truth. End quote.
I saw that.
That's Jim Harbaugh. So, in the meantime, this quote has been making the rounds. Jim Harbaugh, in 2018, asked about paying players, right? Because he's the champion of that, and the NCAA is this terrible organization. Okay, let me read this quote from Jim Harbaugh. Quote, education is what's most valuable. People think what's good for them, what they need, are different things. Does their scholarship become a taxable benefit? Is the government going to say, okay, now you owe us 40%? The 1% able to play college football and get the degree, that's what's best for them. If anything, that's a lot, and it should be valued as such. No, I don't think they should get paid. End quote. Again, what he said there is what 98% of coaches or more, 99% of coaches were saying at the time.
Yep.
But let's just
chill on the.
Let's just chill, okay? You got popped for cheating, and like no deflection is going to change that. And you, let's not try to revise history, okay?
We got Teron Davenport coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and the Bears Week 1 matchup with him. Looking forward to that. Tune in to 93.3 Totally FM Hits Nashville tomorrow for MTSU football. Blue Raiders on the road taking on Ole Miss. Pregame at 1:45, kickoff at 3:15. Coverage also available on the 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.